one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Have your Bible turn to the book of Revelation. I'd like to capture your interest by asking, if you had written the Bible, how would you like to close it out? If you had, and I know it's impossible for man to do what God has done in writing the Word, because it's a supernatural book. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But how would you have closed out such a wonderful book? You made some tremendous offers. You started off with Moses' books by the Holy Spirit from Mount Sinai, the first five, the Pentateuch, the law books, and then you got into the Judges and the Kings and the great prophets, minor and major, and then you came up to Malachi, and there was a blackout for 400 years. There wasn't a light in the spiritual sky. There wasn't a preacher. Wasn't anybody having a revival. And things looked bad. All the promises looked like were in the holding pattern. And they'd killed 70, I guess somebody said 70 million lambs and innocent doves and pigeons and trying to point to Jesus, and looked like he was having a hard time getting here. Fact is, you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah, the lawyer and the prophet, came back and said, we want a conference. The lawyer could have said, we represent all of those that have gone on with no hope except a promise or a note. And they're up yonder, and nothing thus far. They came on the blood of a lamb. They're wondering what the lamb's going to do about it. And the lamb said, you go back and tell them, I'm on my way. I will not be turning back. I'll soon hang on that old rugged cross. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts, and then the great letters, and the doctrinal book like the book of Romans, and then the letters to the churches, and then the book of Hebrews, so rich and so wonderful and fine. And then we find that love department in 1 John, all five chapters. Everybody ought to read that at least once a week. Every husband, every wife, every boy and girl. You ought to read it till you memorize it. Those five chapters, that'll give you the assurance and furnish the love, and give you the assurance that you've been saved and that you're kept. And then you go into, of course, the book of Revelation. That's where we're going to be today. The last book of the Bible. Misunderstood, but all of it is. Somebody said, I don't like it. It confuses me. Makes me nervous. It settles my nerves. I like to know how this thing coming out. And the book of Revelation tells me that everything's coming on time. In the book of Revelation, I'd like to go to the last book, the last chapter, and really the last verse in the Bible that has to do, I believe, with my salvation and yours. And it's verse 17. And the Spirit, that's my subject today, and the Spirit, and the bride say, come. Now, folks, I think you'd readily agree that until the Spirit says come, there won't be no bride. There can't be a bride till the bride hears the Spirit say come. But I like that next part of it. The church, when it gets saved, it says we're going to talk like the Spirit and say, y'all come. Oh, listen. I remember more than we ever have it now. I mean, back in those days when I was being brought up, and I flew right over where I was born and reared, and I could see Navarre Mills Lake and the little old towns down there and those peaceful communities where I used to wonder what is going to happen to me and what is going to do, and didn't much care. But their favorite statement was this, y'all come. If it's ever so you can, y'all come. And if they came, I sure hope y'all can come back again. Now, the Holy Spirit majors, and this is his last message. This is the last thing he ever said. I mean, in writing, right here. And brother, this is the most inclusive thing I've ever read in my life. And I want to share it with all of my people today. Somebody said, well, I just kind of believe if the Lord wants me, he'll come get me. And it may be his will for me to go to hell. No, you missed the book. I think some people are just designed for hell anyhow. And maybe I'm one of them. I don't think the Lord really cares. I don't know that I'm on his preferred list. I do. Because it's not the will of the Father. One. How many is that? One. Just one. Oh, any one. Not even that many should perish. And so let me remind you, son and friend, this morning out in radio land and here. If you perish, you violated the will of God in order to perish. You rebelled at the will of God. And let me tell you something. Anybody that goes away lost from this service this morning, you're going away out of the will of God. And you're going to refuse that love call from Calvary. And now, let me say something about the Holy Spirit. He's the greatest person in the world today. He's the only God there is in the world today. And I mean, he's a person, not an it. I don't get too worked up over this little motto they've got on so many cars. We found it. I want more than it. I mean, I want him. I want a person. I need a person. I mean, it can't help me a good deal. And so, I'd rather say I found him, or rather, I'd rather say he found me. He got me located. He's the great, he's the loveliest, he's the most available, he's the most powerful, he's my only hope. And except he build a house, they labor in vain that pick up a hammer. Except he build a city, you might as well fire the policeman and the sheriff and the chief police because they can't do it. Except he keep the city, the watchman wakes up in vain. No need us patrolling. No need us packing pistols unless we're willing actually to let the Lord keep our city. These are days of uncertainty. I go in communities. Wherever I go, I find out this house is specially guarded. Boy, they got signs up. Communities now are paying special policemen. So many families get together on so many streets, and brother, all night long, they're guarding those houses. Didn't used to be like that. You know, used to, if you live far enough in the country, nobody ever come along. I mean, my mother, I don't remember my dad ever hardly having a key to our house. We just didn't lock up. Now then, brother, you can lock up, they'll still get in. They'll still get in. Well, I'm talking about the most powerful person in all the world. He made a tremendous landing one day when he attended the baptismal service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew where to land. When he made his landing, he landed on the Son of God and in the Son of God. And dear friend, I remind you that there'd never been a miracle performed by the Lord Jesus Christ until the Holy Spirit came and dwelt in him. Now, that tells me something. I do not believe that the Holy Spirit can come and live in any person and he doesn't live in anything else. You never find him sitting around in brick and mortar. You never see him sitting on top of a beautiful sunset or sunrise or Niagara Falls or some beautiful pinnacle or mountaintop or something. Brother, he lives in people. That's the only place. Said, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's where we get our authority to get rid of cigarettes, tobacco, liquor, dope, immorality, profanity. All that comes out of the heart. Nobody curses unless he's got a cursed heart. that profanity? Oh, you say, I can't control my tongue. Jesus can. Yeah, he can put the governor on it. Of course, you've heard me say, and I read a story where a precious person died and gave every member of her body. And that story relates with her eyes, with the kidneys. And that story, I was amazed that help had come to so many people from one body that was donated. But dear friends, I've got a greater story than that. If when the Holy Spirit comes into us, we donate our body, not after we're dead, but while we're living. Jesus said, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present or present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And for every man not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And so today, I want to talk with you about what Jesus said when he said, all power is given unto me. Yeah, but you said he's leaving here, I know. But he's sending the one that has all power. And the Holy Spirit. I want to make a statement I've never made. I'd rather have the Holy Spirit in the world today than to have Jesus. I believe that goes without any argument at all. I'd rather have the Holy Spirit. You know why? Jesus was limited with a human body. You think he could be everywhere at one time? No, sir. Holy Spirit can. Do you think Jesus lived in every person? No, sir. I mean, he was localized, if you please, and the Holy Spirit is every. And Jesus said, don't you know it's expedient that I go away? If I go not away, the Spirit will not come. But he said, I'm going to give you another comforter, which shall be in you and shall reveal the truth and convict for sin, righteousness, and judgment. So I'd rather have him up yonder, because I know I'm going to get my phone answered. I mean, long as he's sitting in the PBX department, and he's got about 4 billion private lines, and I dial him up by faith. And he said, if you abide in me, my words abide, ask what you will, it'll be done for you. And so, no need me calling up heaven if he's not there to answer my phone. But I wouldn't even know how to call if I couldn't pray in the Spirit or call in the Spirit. You'd say, well, you got the Bible. Bible don't mean nothing to me. Not a thing. It's a dead book. It's a dull book to me, unless the Holy Spirit tell me what it says. You see what I'm talking about today? We got a friend in this world. He lives in us every day. That's the reason we ought to act right. That's the reason we ought to talk right. Holy Spirit never did make me act ugly. Never did. I've acted ugly, but he didn't do it. I've said things I wish I could unsay, but he didn't tell me to say them. Oh, those spoken words that ought to have been left unspoken. Think of the tears that will flow today. Think of the murders that will be committed today because somebody opened their mouth and said something they ought not to say. Nobody ever gets killed, hardly, until, and I read the sad story, somebody handed me a clipping of the daddy, boy, on dope, that took a knife and cut his daddy all to pieces. One of the prominent writers of this generation, but he's dead now. And the boy stabbed himself and cut himself and ran, but the daddy, can you imagine, the daddy went and picked his boy up and said, son, come home. And there they were looking for a commitment for him, looking for a place for him. Boy called me from the bus station and said, Brother Olaf, I've been kicked out of my home. I've been kicked out of my home. I have no place to go. I'm 22 years old. I can't keep a job. I have nothing. I've got $2.50 in my pocket. Here I am at the bus station wondering which direction I'm going to go. I called his mother. She adopted him when he was 3 months old. Said, Brother Olaf, it's a sad story. Oh, we've tried to help him. We can't. And said, if you could do anything for him. Folks, one of the great needs right now is for Christians to start building homes for mentally disturbed people. Put the Word of God to them and watch them. I mean, watch them respond to the Word of God. Apart from the Word of God. And I tell you what, the dope jacket, I mean the straight jacket of dope and chemical, never will get the... They need Jesus and they need the power of God. I believe that God's only one can renew a wrong mind and make it what it ought to be. Would you let me say some things about the Holy Spirit quickly? Number one, he can be lied to. He can be lied to. But there's a mighty price and a mighty penalty. Did you know that Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost and he killed both of them in the church house? You know why I had a right to kill him in the church house? Because he's the head of the church. I mean, he's the one, he's the administrator, he's doing anything he wants to do. Preacher didn't kill him. Oh, no, Simon Peter didn't kill either one of them. They walked down the aisle, both of them lied. And Simon Peter said, you know, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. You're not lying to your pastor. And down they went. They're both dead. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. But it'd be better to lie to me than it would be to him. And so he can be lied to. Number two, he can be received. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, to me, it's so simple. Until most people, they've been saying, I've been seeking to receive the Holy Spirit for the last 10 years. I don't believe it's that complicated. You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let the Holy Spirit tell you about your sin. And so he can be received. Number three, he's a person that can be grieved. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, listen, when God seals it, and the Holy Spirit is the sealer, and the revealer, and he's the congealer, and everything will hold together that he puts together. Number four, did you know he can be slandered? Did you know that the unpardonable sin has to do with the Holy Spirit? You know why? One reason, because he's the only God. If you reject the only God that's in the world, how do you suppose you can get to Jesus? You can't. How can you go to heaven if you reject, if you talk about, criticize, and speak an ugly word about the Holy Spirit? I tell you, I believe that that's where the danger. I believe there's a lot of reprobate minds today because they rejected and blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I believe witchcraft, dope, idolatry, and all that filth is coming upon this and the cults today. Reckon why Jim Jones killed 900, so many precious literature. Reckon why? Do you think he's in his right mind? Let me tell you something. My prediction is he had blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Jim Jones said, I don't believe I need it. I don't believe I need Jesus. I'll run this thing without him. And a strange thing, he got the approval, he got the endorsement, and he got the license of the government of California. He was completely accepted. He was bragged on. I mean, his name was good, and yet he killed. I mean, he gave that horrible drink to little children, mothers and dads and others. 900 of them went to their graves. Folk, you can say what you please. People like that have to go berserk in their mind. And I'm going to say again, the cause for the violence in the pre-tribulation days which we're now in is going to be brought about by pornography, newspapers, television, dope, cigarettes, liquor, worry, fear, and just plain unbelief. And people are not going to be able to carry the load. That's reading psychiatrists are going to psychiatrists. That's reading psychiatrists lead the world in murder and suicide. Did you know that? You know why? They're trying to bear too many people's burdens and don't have any way to get their own born. Would you let me say something? If this is in the flesh, the Lord will understand. Why is it? And how is it? That on these frail shoulders have fallen the burdens of so many people. And I've survived. How could I survive years of inhuman treatment? And all the... How? I tell you how. Now, this is the sweet part of my message. Jesus came to help me. Holy Spirit said, son, the load's not on you. Oh, listen. Looked down and saw those two tracks. I said, Lord, where are my tracks? I was walking. We had four tracks. He said, I'm carrying you now. Them's my tracks. You up in my bosom now. Folks, I wish you could understand that. I wish I could help you. I know you get troubled and you get depressed and you wonder what mother's doing and dad and why they did what they did and why your home's busted and why, you know, your brother's in trouble and all that kind. Listen, put the burdens on Jesus. You'll come through all right. Why, listen, the best is yet to come. And so he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul said, I'll just glory in my infirmities. Power of Christ may rest upon me. Well, he can be lied to. He can be received. He can be grieved. He can be slandered. And strange as it may seem, he can be resisted. Can you imagine resisting the Holy Spirit? I believe we ought to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. But, brother, when you start resisting the devil, holding back, say, oh, wait a minute. No, don't come any closer. I don't want anything to do with you. Brother, that's a danger. He can be resisted. Number six, he's the one that witnesses to us that we're saved. You know how I know I'm saved? Holy Spirit told me I'm saved. Holy Spirit doesn't live in people that's unsaved. And so, I know I didn't understand. I don't understand all about it now. But, if I waited till I understood about everything, I never would do anything. I don't understand how, that I can walk and move and my mind and how it works and hands and fingers and man's wonderfully and fearfully made. But, there are a lot of things. I don't understand how an airplane flies. I got in the plane, five of us in Cleburne, Texas, about 7:15, and in 1 hour and 35 minutes, Morgan, we's on the ground out here. Little old single engine. I mean, just one propeller. Boy, it is cutting air. We got about 9,500. And in 1 hour and 35 minutes, we were talking to approach control and filing a let down through the clouds. And you know what he said to me? He said, Brother Olaf, and he talked to me a little, he said, would you let me give you a surveillance approach? I said, give me 1.7 so I can make a low approach. And ceiling about 400 to 600 feet. Visibility was pulled up to about 4, about 1.5 when we left. But anyhow, he said, let me give you a surveillance approach. And I said, that's fine with me. I wouldn't take a lot of time. And he brought me right across the middle of the airport. And he does it all. He could see me. I couldn't see him. He was surveillancing me. I mean, he'd already surveyed the whole thing, see? And he gave me a surveillance approach. And he saw me bust down through those clouds and got a little bumpy, you know. He wasn't worried about nothing. He didn't say, now, I don't know for sure I'm going to be able to get you in safely. You may crash over there in Nation Bay. Oh, no. If he had, boy, I'd have made a 180 and gone somewhere else. Don't come making a surveillance approach for me now. If you don't know what... Well, he said, I've never made one, and this is the first time I've ever been up here in the tower, but I'm just practicing. Oh, don't practice on me and my wife and my little grandchildren here. I said, man, give me something that you know about. No, he was sure. Boy, listen. And when I broke out over there, I said, I'm visual, and there's the airport. And I said, let me go to Cudahy. Now, let me ask you something. Do you suppose that man has got more sense than God? Of course, I thought about this. The Lord's going to give me a PAR into heaven. That's precision. That's where he does it all. Now, surveillance, you have to do a good deal of it yourself. Of course, he guides you and all that. But when you get on that PAR, I'll guarantee you, he said, you don't do nothing except what I tell you to do. And I'm bringing you. Folks, don't you realize that the Holy Spirit lives in us, and he witnesses, and he came down as a dove, not as a fighting bird of some sort, full of love. And he's the love shedder. And we're born of the Holy Spirit. And I said already, he's our sealer. And he's our revealer. Holy men of God spake. He's the one that quickens these mortal bodies. He's our resurrector. You know how Jesus got up out of the grave? Holy Spirit got him up. If the Spirit of him that raised up Christ dwell in you, he'll quicken your mortal bodies. Jesus got up out of the grave. I tell you one thing, Jesus sure trusted him. Jesus said, I'm willing to die on the cross, but I think he had an understanding with the Holy Spirit at the proper time, he'd get him up. And the Holy Spirit, and dear friend, the Holy Spirit's going to quicken every mortal body that's going to die in Christ and that's saved. And then I'd like to say one other thing, and I don't mean to be cheap with this. The Holy Spirit is the matchmaker. I mean, he's interested in matrimony. He got him a bride he's building up. Oh, listen. You know who? Surely the Holy Spirit will be the best man in that wedding. Don't you know it'll be a joy when he sees the bride coming down the aisle and Jesus standing there, nail-printed hands. And what a wedding. What a glorious sight it's going to be one of these days. Well, you said, did you say he's the loneliest person? Yes. Because most people ignore the Holy Spirit. When you mention the Holy Ghost, there's no me. You mention the Holy Spirit. I mentioned him in the courtroom. I mentioned up in the Austin. I said, the Holy Spirit's our administrator. They don't go for that. They don't understand that, and yet he is. You know why? He's rejected today. Till you know Jesus, you'll never know what it means to have him live. Enyon.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message today entitled, And the Spirit. If you would like to have a copy of the message on a CD, ask for offer number RO523, RO523. And we'd like to have the call letters to this radio station when you write and the date of which you're listening to the program. To receive the CD, we ask for a gift of at least $10 that will help us cover shipping and handling. And if you can give a further gift for the ministry, it certainly is needed at this time. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box, 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. God's Little Biscuit is an intriguing title for the special offer this month. God's Little Biscuit is a message by Brother Roloff illustrating God as he takes weak, humble, and sometimes fearful people and uses them for wonderful things. Now, Brother Roloff has taken the text from Judges 6 and 7. That's the way he builds the message. We're requesting the CD for $10, and you just simply ask for offer number RO1395 and include $10 to help with shipping and handling. And if you'd like to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507, or you can write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Again, the offer is God's Little Biscuit. The offer number is 1395. Include $10 for shipping and handling. And the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Now, as you realize, we're in the summer months now, and that's when the giving usually is really off quite a bit. So we really need your help right now, so I hope that you'll include more than just the CD. The address, again, is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.